Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Shift Church. My name is Tim Carter, as you can see. I don't know, actually, do the names show up on the stream? I don't know. Anyway, I can see the names. My name's Tim Carter.
Hello.
Liz says they don't. My name's Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints and at St. Catherine's Eton, and it is really good to welcome you, whether you are watching live on Facebook now, whether you're catching up on Facebook or YouTube, or whether you're catching up, listening to us on a podcast while you're out for your run, walking the dog, cooking tea, whatever it is you're doing. I'm on stream tonight. And who else have we got? Say hello, Sean.
Hello, Sean.
Oh, it never gets old, that, does it? Say hello, Liz.
Hello, Liz. Hi to everybody coming on the stream. We've got Sarah here. Hi, Sarah. Elizabeth and Charlotte, welcome everybody, and quite a few more I can't see the names of, but welcome.
It's good to have a few folk with us. This evening we are continuing to think about our church value of exploring, and tonight we're particularly thinking about innovation, which is a very long word, which we'll think about what it means a little bit later. I'm just trying to remember what we did. Well, last week we were talking about openness, weren't we? Being open to things. Open hearts and open hands and open minds. That's right. I remember now. If you weren't around for last week and that sounds interesting to you, it's still all available on YouTube and Facebook and on the podcast. So, yes. So I wonder, have you guys had any thoughts on openness over the last week? Anything that particularly stuck out from you from what we were talking about last week? Your mind's so open, it's just all gone out again.
Everything's fallen out of it right now.
That's all right.
I remember that last week that it really, really spoke to me, because I was going through quite a dark time. I was feeling really poorly. And I remember thinking that, because I wasn't on stream, but I remember thinking that Shift Church is just so wonderful for me tonight. I really need to hear all this. And it really spoke to me, but I've forgotten what it was. But it was great. So.
Well, there you go. That's all right then. And if anybody listening out there or watching wants to feedback stuff, do put it in the comment stream on, if you're with us live tonight, Liz or Sean. I can't remember who's in charge of the stream tonight. Who's keeping an eye for
I think it's me. But
excellent. Good. Well, if you've got comments or questions or prayer requests, put it on and Liz will pick it up. If you're not watching live, but you do still want to feedback, be part of the conversation, that would be great. You can email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. And if you can't remember that, you can go to put a message on the Facebook page or direct message me on Facebook, something like that. Let's keep the conversation going. That would be good. So, yes, who's been out for a snow walk? Have you built a snowman, Sean?
I haven't, but my girls have. We've got a snowman, and it's still actually there in the garden. It hasn't been washed away by the rain, so that's cool.
Lovely. Is it slowly shrinking?
It is, yeah. He's sloping on one side, so... yeah.
No, we didn't manage one, did we? But we did go out for a snow walk.
We did go out for a couple of snow walks, actually.
Yeah.
Very nice.
We had a snowball fight. Well, I stayed away from the snowball fight.
Yeah, very sensible, Liz.
Yeah.
I stayed even further away from it. I was actually not even present. I was still in the house.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sarah says to me, I've got a big smile, a vaccine smile. But that is. But yes, I am. I'm vaccine on Friday. Yay.
Yeah.
Just going back to your question about being openness.
Yeah.
And just thinking about it just briefly, and the idea that I think we can, with a lot of things to do with the Bible, we can get a bit worried about how we do it or how we approach it. And I think just being open to God can be any time, in any place. And I think we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves that we've got to be in the right frame of mind or this, that, and the other. But actually, it's just about being yourself and just asking God to be with you. That's it, really. And that's how you are open to God. There's no magic wand or special kind of spell that you've got to say. It's just a daily walk with God, really.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think that's right. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes, Charlotte. Thank you for your prayers for me. That they really did. God really did hear those prayers, and I pray you will get your vaccine soon as well. Definitely, really soon.
That'd be great. Yeah, I like that. You're not going to be yes. Yeah, very good. So, yeah, as I said, we're thinking about innovation and being open to change, perhaps. And our kind of initial reflection this evening is a bit of a poem, a spoken word performance piece, just encouraging us to think maybe slightly differently about what church is, what church could be. And just encourage us as we're listening to this, starting to get our brains chewing over what this whole area of innovation might mean. Just take a breath, wherever you're sat, if you're in your dining room or your living room or at work, college, wherever. Just take a breath and we just say, Holy Spirit, come, be with us, instruct us. We choose to be open to you now. Amen. Amen. Now, let's see. A poem for the church, it's called. Here we go. I need to do that and I need to do that. And hopefully it'll go.
Two 2,000 years ago, Jesus stood across from a guy named Simon, who he'd just renamed Peter, which means rock. He'd asked Simon Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter spoke to Jesus, who he then renamed Messiah, which means anointed. Then Messiah Jesus renamed Simon Peter, which means rock, and said, "On this rock I will build my church." But not the rock that was Peter, but the rock that was the truth of the man he'd just renamed Messiah, which also means Savior. Messiah Jesus, anointed Jesus, Savior Jesus, on this rock I will build my church. My church, which means people, mothers, brothers and sisters insisting on the good of others, hands lending hands, feet washing feet, and shoulders shouldering burdens, turned an individualized collection of islands into a body of parts, doing their part to impart the heart of more than a martyr to a world that wants to barter what can only be believed and freely received, a precious people. Picked for purpose and poised for plowing, for the harvest is plentiful and the workers are the church, which also means invitation. The call of the 99 to the one. The call to all the sons and daughters, farther and farther, but never too far from the Father, never too lost not to be found, never too far gone not to be brought back round, with the sound of his invitation resounding through generations, rebounding hearts in separation, and renouncing our God's incarnation, the incantation of the Godhead, calling the people body past the pews and into the world. Beyond the baptismal and deep into discipleship, out of the doors and into the movement, the unstoppable force of the immovable object of our praise, the unending purpose of a God who's still perfect in all his ways. The gates of hell will not overcome the movement of the one who's already won, the movement of his people when they set out from their steeple. The movement of the invitation as it moves to shape the nation and the world and the kingdom that will bring home every lost soul and weary wanderer, every broken spirit and hurting heart, every Jimmy and Julie and Sarah and Tim, every Muhammad and Rachel and Malik and Mary, every Marcus, every Allison, every Vladimir, and every Peter, which still means rock. The people. The invitation, the movement. On this rock, I will build my church.
So yeah, Liz found us that for us this week. Can you remember what the name of the poet is, Liz?
No, but we could post it on the stream on YouTube, couldn't we?
Yeah, do.
The link, because I can't remember, but I really enjoyed, I thought that was very powerful.
Definitely.
The way he kept talking about the church is an invitation yeah. to the broken. It's not just about being in the pews, but it's about an invitation to freedom and wholeness.
Yeah, and he even mentioned Tim as well.
And Sarah. I'm afraid you two didn't get looking.
No, we didn't get looking.
There you go. It's John something. John Jorgensen or something like that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Liz can do a Google during the sermon. We'll find it and put it in the comments stream.
Okay, well, we'll do a boss.
Very good. So anyway, yeah, so he talked about the Jesus saying, this is the rock I'll build my church on, about the movement of the church and particularly in the early days, it definitely was a movement rather than an institution. So our Bible reading this evening is based in those times when the church really was an exploding movement before it even got into an institution. So, Sean, are you reading that for us from Acts?
I am, yes. I will be reading from Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, which is basically the end of the chapter. The title of the chapter is The Fellowship of the Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you. And we have got another guest speaker this week. This week it is Caroline, a youth and children's worker, who was reflecting a little bit earlier in the week on this for us. And we're going to watch a video of her doing that. And then we're going to have a chat about it. Yep. Here we go.
Hi. So this sermon comes under the explore part of our All Saints visions and values. And you'll find those values on our website under vision and values. They're also on the countdown video at the beginning of every service. So you get to see them there too. So exploring and innovating, what is that? We want to be known in All Saints as people who innovate and who keep moving forwards and exploring new ways to seek God and to see him in our lives and in other people's lives, new ways to bring God to other people. We've already talked about new ways in the service, and in our reading in Acts, it was a new time for the believers, for those who knew Jesus. They had walked with him and talked with him. They'd heard his amazing teaching firsthand. And they helped him carry out his ministry. They were involved in every part of it. He trusted them to heal and minister to people. He passed on everything he was to them. And at this part of Acts, in this story, it's not long after that time of the Holy Spirit landing on their heads, you know, and little flames on their heads. They were making their way as new believers of a living God. And the reading says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking bread together. They shared everything. They sold things to give money to the poor, and they looked after each other. They took on this challenge together. They innovated their new way. It was a new time, and it was a new normal for them. They had to innovate. It was the only way to hold on to what they believed was true about Jesus. And innovation means to have new ideas and to find new ways to do things. So like we said earlier, we're all good at doing new things right now. We've got no choice. There's Zoom and there's homeschool and online shopping and Facebook Live to go to church to. I've learned how to make foamy coffee. It's not as great as gratitudes, but I'm learning. And I've learned how to do my job online. That's tricky, but when we go back to being in church and in the office, I'm gonna learn how to do my job all over again. But that's okay, because when I was growing up, I was quite a resourceful child and a bit of an inventor. I was always carving things out of cardboard and paper and hanging things from my walls and ceilings with string. And my parents let me paint my walls. There was Snoopy on there for a while. There was an open window. I guess I liked looking out on things with a beautiful scene. Yeah, I love to break the barriers and do things differently. I love to do things that people said I couldn't do and would never be able to do. I guess I just wanted to work it out for myself. And I'm guessing that that's true for lots of kids and teenagers today. Not much has changed for me. I still don't really trust people's theories on how to do things. And anyway, why should we? We've all had different upbringings and different experiences. So things are going to look different for all of us. And we have to embrace that, especially in this new time. Have you ever heard of divergent thinking? It's when you can think up lots of different ways to do one thing. So kids, when they're between the ages of 4 and 5, they have 100% of divergent thinking inside their brains. They can think, if you had maybe a paperclip, and said, what could we do with this paperclip, kids? They could come up with maybe 200 ways to do different things, and that would include things like, could it be big and hold up a house, and all sorts of things like that. Crazy the way the brain works. But as kids reach the age of about 8, the percentage goes down by about half. They're about 50% of divergent thinking inside them, and at 13, it goes down even further, maybe only 25%. I'm pretty sure it's something to do with going to school. But it is a large part of creativity as well. And we have a creative God. That's his image inside us. Some experts think that to be creative is as important as reading and writing. Thinking creatively right now is kind of really important, isn't it? Well, thankfully for us, we have a very creative God of innovation. That's why the apostles did so well early on in Acts. They had the DNA of Jesus right inside of them. And I was thinking right back to the beginning of the Bible, you know, where God created a beautiful garden. I'm going to stand up for this bit. He created a beautiful garden, and he invented people, animals, plants, everything, and he put them all in the garden. He let the people be in charge. He gave them purpose. He gave them everything they needed, their food, their water, everything. And he wanted to do that and be there with us. But we wanted more. And Adam and Eve kind of wrecked it for us back then. And we became separated. We had to leave the garden and we became separate from God. There's us. And there's God. And it wasn't a great time. We didn't like being separated from God, and God didn't like being separated from us. But he is a God of innovation. So he sent Jesus to a poor family in a poor town to come and tell us this God was for everybody. Not just the Jews or good people or rich people or anything like that. He was for everyone, and his love could stretch out to reach everyone all over the earth. It's big, isn't it? This is God's love. It was huge, and it was for everyone. But God wasn't satisfied with that. And he was really wanted us back in his presence. He wanted to be close to us. He wanted to be next to us. He wanted to help us every day. He didn't want just to love us. He wanted to be there for us in every moment. from every way. And so that Jesus, who came to tell us all about him and what he had for us, had to die on the cross. When he died, he took our shame and our guilt and our pain and our leaving that garden. Jesus took that and he linked us back to God. It took Jesus, a perfect person, to die on the cross, to do this for us, to enable us to be linked back to God. But this isn't just for heaven and after we die. We're joined to him. If we receive him into our hearts, we are joined to him now, today and tomorrow and the next day. He's going to be there for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to love us. He wants to share us with good things. He wants to make our lives easier every day. So, what can we do as a church, as people who actually believe that God did this for us? How can we try to offer this to others? How can we embrace this in lockdown right now? How can we include him in new ways to meet us in the dirge of this whole season? In church, we've managed to get the services online, and they're beaming out into maybe 100 homes every week. And it's just an honour to see those words and to imagine God being beamed into homes every week and people hearing his word and worshipping together in their homes. It's just amazing to see that. How else can we innovate? I'm guessing we all go out for a walk. I go out for a walk. I used to walk my kids to school. One day I was walking my kids to school, or maybe I was walking to fetch them. I was worried about something and I was praying. I was praying as I walked on the line in between the cyclists and the pedestrians. You know, sometimes there's a line between those two things. I was walking on a line, and as I walked on that line, I prayed. No biggie. The next day I walked that way and I found myself walking on that line and I found myself praying, which was a surprise because, I didn't mean to. So, you know, God is that God of innovation. He loves new ways and new things. If we invent a new way to meet him, he'll really meet us there and he'll embrace us and he'll be waiting for us. He loves seeing us using our intelligence that he gave us to find ways to meet him. Maybe you don't go for a walk alone. Maybe you always have someone with you. Maybe you always have your mum with you, or your dad, or your kids with you, and it's kind of a chatty walk. Maybe you could just talk about Jesus. Maybe you could just talk about what he thinks about this time, about this pandemic, about Zoom, about homeschool. What would Jesus think about homeschool? About technology? Oh, there's so many questions you could wonder about what Jesus would think. Maybe as you pass your kids' rooms at night, maybe you could pray for a better homeschool day tomorrow, or a better work day or something for them. Or pray that they find the thing that God has made them for and that it lights up inside of them. It's a really great prayer to pray, and pray that you are honoured with watching it unfold and maybe helping it unfold. That's a great prayer to pray for your kids. And kids, you can pray that for your parents too. You can pray that those things that they love to do will, they'll be allowed to do, and they will be allowed to make into their jobs or be able to do them all day long. Just embrace each other and pray for things that you know the other wants to see in their own lives. And if you're missing friends and relatives, maybe every time you think of them, you could pray. I do this in Lent. I try to limit cakes and biscuits, not very successfully sometimes. And every time I have a craving, I try and pray for a friend. So if I want a chocolate biscuit, I think, oh, I'll just pray for so-and-so, and keep praying until the craving goes away. It gets my friends prayed for, and I might lose a bit of weight in Lent, who knows? And Okay, one more. If you have many wakeful hours in the night, my mother-in-law taught me this one, pray for those you know through the alphabet, all those people on letter A, pray for them, and then move on to B, and then C, and those people with names beginning with R and S and T, you might have to switch it up a bit and go backwards or something through the alphabet so people get prayed for evenly. I don't know. See how you feel. It's a great way to pray for people in the night, and it's a great way to get back to sleep. I find that it does work for me. So if we're joined, like these two pieces of paper here, to God through his innovation, he made this happen. How are we going to innovate our lives to help us remember what he's done for us? How are we going to innovate? Where is your painted line?
Wow. So much good in that, isn't there?
Absolutely. So we're going to have a bit of a chat about that, about the Bible reading. And guys, if you're on the stream now and you want to put comments or questions on, please do. If you're listening afterwards, watching afterwards, and you want to make a comment or ask a question, we can always come back to it next week. Drop me an email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll pick those up for next week. So where's your painted line?
Yeah, that's a big question, isn't it? What I liked about what she was saying actually was that the innovations, they don't have to be a big thing. You know, they can be just small things that dot through your day. So I really liked the way she talked about, you know, praying in the night, because I sometimes do that when I can't sleep, and praying kind of through the alphabet. So, you know, it's not just like we have to challenge ourselves with the massive things, but it's the small things that will add up in order to be an innovation and to get out there. But as for where my painted line is, I have to give that one some thought. What about you?
No, I like the idea of praying for people, you know, from the alphabet. I hadn't thought about that, so that's really cool. I've never heard that one, so that's something definitely I'll be thinking about doing. Again, I'm not sure where my line is either, really, if I'm honest. I've got to give that a bit more thought, really, I think.
That's fair enough. I think going back a little bit further in what Caroline was saying, I think that divergent thinking, that thing, in all kinds of ways, I wonder whether one of the things about innovation is learning to see things from a different perspective. And actually, I think we can train ourselves to do that. And it might be as simple as pick a household object and write down as many different weird things you could think of doing with it as possible. There's all kinds of little creativity exercises you can do, just because, as Caroline says, if you see a paperclip as a grown-up, most of us, or I think probably, just think, oh, that's a paperclip, I can clip two bits of paper together. And it's really important part of learning, and allows us to think about things quickly, that we recognize what something is and we don't have to think about it. But that skill does away with our divergent thinking.
Yeah.
And actually, to cultivate the skill of looking at the same thing differently is a really important first step to being able to innovate and to approach things differently.
Yeah. And I want, you know, she was talking about the early church, wasn't she, at the beginning? And I wonder where they got the sort of impetus to have that level of divergent thinking, where they actually changed the culture on its head. They sort of, you know, it said in a Bible reading that they met together and they shared everything, and it just wasn't done in that culture, that the way that they looked after the oppressed and the way that they shared with the hungry, it was just completely alien. But obviously Jesus's own innovation was what had come in and kick-started their innovation. And in turn, that can kickstart our innovation in small ways and in big ways, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's lots of stories of people that discovered that they had amazing gifts you know, people like John Wesley, Charles Wesley, people like that, they tried these things that they realized that they could preach, or one could write music. And then obviously the rest is history, you know, they are, you know, and I think it's, you know, we're on a journey with God, and it's about trying things, you know, and you know, it doesn't, as you said, not about doing big stuff. It's just about doing what you feel you're able to, and, you know, seeing where God is going to take it, really.
Yeah. And it's not being constrained about in your circumstances. I always think about Amy Carmichael, who was bedbound. She was like a missionary, and she had a fall and she became bedbound with it. But she didn't let that sort of stop her from innovating. So what she did was she wrote, and she wrote lots of poetry and lots of sort of devotionals, which really changed the lives of other people. So she innovated within her own, you know, her own difficulties.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That sounds like a similar story. Joni Erickson is one. That's a similar story where she was paralyzed from a swimming accident, but that didn't stop her, because she tried different things, and then she became really famous for painting and her story and all that. So yeah, it's, you know, there's so many examples of people that you know have tried stuff and God has blessed it, really. And I think, you know, these are real great examples for us to think about.
Yeah.
Have we got anything coming through on the stream, Liz? Just want to give some space for that, if there's any questions or comments.
No, just people saying, thinking about where our line is, where my line is, just food for thought. But no, I'm not getting anything else for you yet, but do feel free to drop your thoughts. Well, Sarah says, I've been starting to think differently and have already had great peace from it, helping me with my anxiety. I now only concentrate on today, living for God today. Tomorrow belongs to God. After all, Jesus said, give us today our daily bread. Yeah. So that's kind of like an innovation in your own life, isn't it? Where you find, able to find peace from that kind of decision to just think about the day. Let tomorrow worry about itself.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus said, isn't it? He said that.
Well, he said tomorrow has enough worries for itself, but close enough.
Pretty much. Don't be a pedant. Don't keep me apart.
Sorry. Okay, so there are some things where we kind of see innovation as a positive thing, but I wonder, is there space for us to be real about the fact that some of the innovations that have been forced on us recently, it's not easy, is it?
Yeah.
It's not, change isn't always comfortable, and particularly change and innovation that's been forced on us by circumstance, it can be uncomfortable. We end up even resenting it, perhaps.
Yeah, but equally, when you look at it, some of those innovations have made a big difference in the lives of other people. I know I bang on about it, but how online church has made a difference in the life of some people who are sick and disabled, who didn't have that before, to a great extent, and that forcing us to do that has touched the lives of other people who were struggling, and sort of looking at it that way around perhaps helps us to think about it when innovations are forced upon us. How do we respond?
Yeah, I get that there are innovations which have kind of pros and cons for people, but just kind of giving space, permission to people to say, so the innovation of having to shield, I don't think it's been positive for anybody from any perspective. I mean, we might get some very holy people on who say, oh, well, it's meant that I can go into more kind of reflective depth with God, and that's I suppose that's possible, and there are folk like that, but for the majority of people, vast majority, I think it's been an unwelcome innovation.
Yeah
I'm not going to argue with that. I think you're right. I think we need to to be careful to say that sometimes it's just tough, and there isn't really anything that you can say to lighten it up, really, or make it more easy. Yeah. Charlotte was just saying, yeah, online church has helped her because she can't go out and she's shielding. And it's been a godsend for her, no pun intended. So that's lovely.
Yeah.
And Tom's just said, I think it's interesting to think about current innovators who may not be overtly Christian, but seem to be promoting an attempt to preserve God's planet, like Elon, and wondering how God is working in his life.
Yeah. I read a really interesting article in, I think it was, well, it was on Facebook. It was a guy who'd written an article, I think it was in The Times, about the opportunities for entrepreneurs that this whole kind of shake-up of the economy and the world has brought about, and making the argument for Christian entrepreneurs, for Christians with the gift of having really good business ideas that can actually provide jobs for people and make a difference in people's lives. That's a really important Christian vocation, is being a strong ethical business person with good ideas. And making the argument that there's new spaces opening up for that. So yes, you've got folk like Elon Musk coming up with 100 new ideas before breakfast on a massive global scale. But actually, even on a local scale, there's that room for, it's not just innovation, spiritual innovation or innovation in the kind of life of the church local. It's actually, innovation generally is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, that's how we get all these charities that help people, at all the food banks and
the food banks.
It's all innovation. It's all people going out there, you know, whether Christian or not, to transform their lives, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So thinking a little bit about, I mean, Caroline made some suggestions about things families could do, and that might be one way to take it home with our, there were some suggestions there for taking it home with our families. Anything else we can think of to kind of, if we've got youngsters around, to think about how helping them be resilient and cope with change, to welcome change, to do things in new ways?
Yeah, there's a certain extent by which you can help them by not being too negative about stuff yourself, but being real about it at the same time. They're saying that this is really hard, but this is how we're going to cope with it. Perhaps we're going to find something in this day that gives us joy, or perhaps we're going to go for a walk, or let's do this craft activity or whatever it is. And that's hard sometimes. Actually, you know, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we're having a really down day mentally. It can't always be, oh, joy.
Yeah, no.
Really careful. But yeah, we can also help influence how children see the whole situation by how we respond to it, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Within being real, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've got to be real in front of our kids as well. You know, it's important that, you know, it's, as you said, how we react has a massive effect on them, isn't it? So trying to, if you're normally not, I guess I'm a bit pessimistic, so I've got to try not to be. This is, which I know my, you know, girls are watching, so that's an innovation in itself.
They'll keep you to it now, Sean, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I wonder if there's also something about that, encouraging to keep exploring that divergent thinking and do bits of creativity that kind of say, okay, how can we look at this differently? How can we just keeping encouraging that mindset and that set of thinking skills, which rattle the boxes a little bit.
Definitely.
Yeah, good stuff. Any other thoughts or anything particularly you wanted to ask about the Bible reading or that struck you about it?
I'm Sarah says it. This ties in well with Nick's podcast, which is great. I haven't actually listened to that yet, but I'm glad to know that it ties in well. So yeah, give that a listen. And Ali says, I think being real with kids gives them the space to be honest as well. So that's just a little thought on what you were just saying, Sean. So.
Yeah.
Actually, yes, I was going to talk a little bit about Nick's podcast, actually. So that's a nice segue. Well teed up, Sarah. Thank you very much. So yeah, Nick Brook, who I think we had on video a couple of weeks ago, talking about something in this, being spirit-led. That's right. And he'll be back next week talking about risk, actually, which will be interesting. But in the meantime, he's started producing a podcast called The Call, which is all about thinking about mission and mission within, particularly within the life of All Saints Church. And the first episode is out and it's available on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. If you search for The Call, All Saints Wellington, hopefully it'll come up. If you struggle to find it, it's also linked from our website, allsaints-wellington.org. If you still can't find it, give me an email and I'll point you towards it. First episode's out, talking about the person of peace. If you don't know what the person of peace is, you know what you have to do, don't you?
Google it.
No.
Listen to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast. There you go. So particularly if you're listening to this on podcast and you want another high quality All Saints podcast, Nick has sent the first episode out, next one out next week, we hope. And then we'll see how it goes, depending on how folk engage with it, really. Nick's podcast has got, like, you know, like when you download professional podcasts and it's got the music-y bit at the beginning, which is the same every week and tells you, this is, you are listening to such and such a podcast, and it's got a proper intro and everything. We can't do that.
Professional, that sounds.
It's very professional. It's much more, in some ways, much more professional than this. But that's because you can sit in his garage and record it and re-record it and stitch it all together, whereas we're live on Zoom making it up as we go along. But that is, I've listened to the first one. It's very good, very thought-provoking. And yeah, welcome addition to the library, the stable of All Saints podcasts.
Indeed. A wealth of information out there.
There is. So yes, really good. That's an innovation for you. So yeah. If you're listening along, have a listen to that as well. That would be good. Okay. So I think what we might do next is have some music. Have a bit of an opportunity just to reflect on what we've been thinking about, a bit of a pray. Just invite God and the Holy Spirit to put in our hearts, to comfort us where we're not very happy about change, to encourage us to innovate and to kind of open up that creativity and innovation a little bit. I'm going to have to do a little bit of magic to make this work, and that should be okay. So talk amongst yourselves just for a minute. There we go. Okay, I'll take that back to the beginning, open that up. Okay, and then we'll go straight into Liz. I think you're leading prayers, aren't you, Liz? Yeah, good. We'll go straight into that from this. That'll be great. Thank you.
Let's pray together. And we're going to use the framework that the lovely Karen brought to us on Sunday, based on innovative ways to pray. So yes, we've got some images to share with this as well. So the first one is silence. I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Let's take a few moments to still ourselves in God's presence and receive his love. Close your eyes and breathe deeply in. As you breathe in and out, think about these words. Breathe in, be still. Breathe out and know that I am God. Be still. And know that I am God. Father, help us to be silent before you. Help us to be still in your presence. And take time in our days with you. Let's go on to affirmation. Slide for that. Yeah. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So let's take a minute to speak out some affirmations together, just to remind ourselves of who we are in God. And please do join in the stream as well. And we affirm these biblical truths just to combat negative thoughts and feelings. And just to stand on God's truth.
You are my child whom I love. With you I am well pleased.
I will fear no evil.
The Lord is my strength and my rock.
You rescue me because you delight in me.
I am loved and forgiven.
Jesus is Lord.
God is my refuge and my strength.
The Lord is our strength and our shelter in times of trouble.
You lead me beside still waters. You restore my soul.
Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine.
Thank you that our names are written on the palms of the hands of Jesus.
And a prayer from the stream, his banner over me is love. Let's move on to the next one, which is lament. I cried out to my God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. So often the world around us is overwhelming and then we don't have the words to say. But the Bible gives us that model for speaking out our sadness and lament. So let's just spend a few moments speaking out our sadness and asking God to work in those who are struggling.
In your word, you tell us to mourn with those who mourn. And so we mourn with those friends and relatives of the more than 100,000 people who've died of COVID in this country now. We lament over that, Lord. It's heartbreaking.
Father, we lament for all those who are struggling with their mental health at the moment because of COVID, because of lockdown, or just because of life. Lord, thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted. And we pray that you be especially close to those who are struggling at the moment with their mental health in any way.
Lord, your word says that you bind the hearts of the brokenhearted.
We pray for Charlotte right now, Lord. We pray that you turn her sadness into joy. And we pray that you would bind up her broken heart and just draw her closer to you. And then finally, we think about journal. We think about recording our the works of God in our lives. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It's good to write and speak the works of God out to others. So let's just finish by spending a moment or two speaking out God's work to one another and thanking him.
Father God, I thank you for the way in which you have formed us as a community in Shift Church, for the support and the way in which you're working in our lives. Thank you for that innovation in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for the innovation of food banks and other support networks for people that are in need.
Thank you for the innovation of online church and all the stuff that we've done this year. And thank you for how you work through it in the lives of those who are struggling in so many ways.
Thank you for the folk I've seen come to faith and growing discipleship over the last months. In your word, you say you were adding daily to their number, and we're not quite seeing daily. We'd love to see daily, Lord. We thank you for those that are coming to faith and coming to know you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A prayer from the stream. Thank you, Lord, for Christian family. Yeah, Lord, we thank you that we are a family together, just as the early church were a family together in you. And we pray that you'd help us to innovate as they did and to go out into the world and love one another and invite others into your love. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Liz. That was great. So, yeah, we're getting towards the end of our time together this evening. The hour's flown by once again. I say this evening, some of you might be listening in the daytime or the morning or middle of the night. Who knows? Oh, there you go. Yes, so next week, as I said a bit earlier, we're continuing to think about exploring. We're thinking about risk. And I don't know if you heard the cheesy old Christian saying, faith is spelt R-A-S-K.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See if we can avoid that next week.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. We've got a really good. We've got some folk who are connected to All Saints who've gone out as missionaries to Kenya in the last couple of months, And you can imagine some of the faith-based risks they've been taking. So they've sent us a video. We'll be sharing in the next, on Sunday and next week at Shift Church, some of their stories. That's really encouraging. So yes, if you've got any questions or comments in advance on what risk means in the context of faith, do drop us an email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Put a message on Facebook, we'll pick it up. Or if you've got reflections on this evening you want to share, or questions, you can do that. Have we got any last bits there from the comment stream, Liz?
Just people saying thank you.
That's
great.
Thank
you for your kindness and accepting me into your online church. Thank you. God bless you all. Amen.
Yeah.
Lots of nice
things. That's nice. Good. Well, we're going to wrap up then. We're going to say good night and see you next week. So say good night, Sean.
Good night, Sean.
Yay. Say good night, Liz.
Good night, Liz.
Oh, come on. Do it some energy. Good night, Liz.
Good night, Liz.
Yeah, that's better. You got to play. Radio. Good night. God bless everybody. Lovely to have you with us. I'm going to stop the stream now. So go well. God bless. Bye-bye.